It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Sociologist Pedro Noguera is the Peter L. Agnew Professor of Education at New York University. He's coming to the University of Pittsburgh's School of Education Center for Urban Education this Friday for a program entitled Building the Capacity of Schools to Meet Students' Needs. He joins us by phone from New York to discuss why school reform is failing to address the way students learn. Pedro Noguera, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. Great to be with the show.
You're coming to the University of Pittsburgh School of Education Center for Urban Education for a program called Building the Capacity of Schools to Meet Students' Needs. What can schools do to better meet students' needs?
Well, thank you for the question. I mean, basically, the thrust of my presentation will be that when you look at the needs of the kids, whether those are academic needs or social needs, that speaks to what resources and skills and strategies the schools must have if they're going to be successful. That is, if you're serving a group of children who are struggling with literacy, you need to have teachers on site who are strong in literacy. Now, it sounds logical, it sounds pretty basic, but that's not what we're doing right now in education. That's not what our policies are designed to do. And consequently, we see lots of schools that are struggling.
And those would seem to be obvious answers or ways to address problems. Why is that not happening?
It's not happening because we don't do a very good job at quality control in schools. So, for example, we will put in programs to help kids or to help teachers, but then no one spends time looking whether or not that was implemented properly and whether or not it is getting the results that we hope for. So quality control is one big part of the problem. The other problem is that in terms of policy, we focus a lot on accountability, on holding schools and now holding teachers accountable and using test scores as the means to determine who's meeting standards. What we're not doing is building capacity in schools. And when you just try to use pressure as a strategy for improvement, you don't address the inherent weaknesses in some schools, and consequently, they continue to fail.
There have been a number of programs, most famously No Child Left Behind, put in place to improve schools. Are any of them working? And if not, why not?
Largely, they're not working, at least not in terms of the goal. The goal was to close achievement gaps. The goal was to lift the performance of more students from disadvantaged backgrounds. And I would say in that regard, with few exceptions, and the exceptions are important, that they do let us know that the problem is not the children. But with few exceptions, the strategy has not succeeded. It's not worked. And again, it's because it's not addressing the fundamental needs of our schools and of our children. And we have good research about what they need. They need strong leadership. They need school cultures that are conducive to learning. They need guidance for teachers so that teachers have clarity about how to deliver good instruction. They need parent engagement and community support. And when those ingredients are not in place, schools, particularly schools in poor neighborhoods, tend not to perform very well.
And how much does just the general disparity that we're seeing in America now, the income gap, how much does that play into this problem?
It's very related, because the simple fact is that poverty and all of the social issues that come with it impact child development, and they can overwhelm a school. And what we have to realize is that schools cannot solve problems related to poverty by themselves. You need to have broader community support so that teachers can focus on the academic needs, but you might also need to have a social worker or a psychologist who are also on hand to address those other issues that children bring with them. Right now, what we're seeing as the poverty rates have risen, particularly amongst children and families, is that schools are overwhelmed and that many of the schools serving the poorest children are the ones that are failing. But let me be clear, this is not to suggest that poor kids are inherently unable to learn. There's no evidence at all to support that. However, when we ignore the needs of children, particularly those basic needs around nutrition and health and housing, then invariably those children will be the ones that will do least well academically.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. We're speaking with Pedro Noguera, Peter L. Agnew, Professor of Education at New York University. He's coming to the University of Pittsburgh School of Education Center this Friday. You suggest the development of effective partnerships with community organizations and parents, as we just heard you discuss. So how should they be developed?
Well, done very strategically, based again on what we know to be the needs of the children in a particular school. So not all schools need the same thing. Some schools, if you're serving a large homeless population, for example, then you're going to have to be much more attentive to how to provide stability, how to provide kind of social and emotional support that many of those children might be lacking. If you're serving a large immigrant community, you need to make sure that your partners know how to engage those families and work with the parents who might be struggling with English themselves. So it looks different in different communities, again, based upon the needs of the children.
What would set these partnerships apart from other programs to improve schools?
What should set them apart is the high level of collaboration. That is, there's real reinforcement based on the needs of the children, and we're looking at evidence based on the outcomes for children that we're getting the results that we hope for. So I can name some partnerships around the country that are working. I work with a consortium of schools in the Bay Area, and there's a partnership there between local colleges, biotech companies, and seven high schools. And their focus is all on preparing young people for work in the biotech industry. And it's around for 20 years now. The kids who work in it, good-paying jobs in biotech, and these are kids that would otherwise not have been going to college. So that kind of partnership addresses a critical need many kids have for work in a field that is going to lead to gainful employment in the long term. So that's just one example. All of the partnerships can vary.
And you may have just answered this, but how do you measure the success of these programs that you're suggesting implementing in schools?
Well, to some degree, it's based on student outcomes. You know, how well do they graduate from high school? How well do they do on state assessment, et cetera, attendance, discipline, et cetera? So those are important indicators. But beyond that, we want to go, depending upon the nature of the partnership, if the partnership is with a hospital, we want to know, do the people who need services get services? And when they get those services, how does that in turn impact the academic outcome? So depending upon the kind of service that's being provided, we want to make sure we have appropriate measures.
Pedro Noguera is Peter L. Agnew Professor of Education at New York University. And again, he's coming to the University of Pittsburgh School of Education Center for Urban Education this Friday for a program entitled Building the Capacity of Schools to Meet Students' Needs. Pedro Noguera, thank you so much for being with us here on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. Pleasure to be on the show.
For more information, you can go to our website at WESA.FM to find out more about building the capacity of schools to meet students' needs. And we'll have more Essential Pittsburgh next here on 90.5 WESA.